Welcome to Can You Say Mama, a podcast by two first-time mamas offering unfiltered opinions on motherhood, relationships, lifestyle, and all the things in between.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I'm so excited today.
I know, it's not just the two of us.
No. You're in for a treat.
We are. We have somebody special in here with us who has experienced something that neither of us have experienced.
No.
So we're very, very interested. We have Kendra here with us. I have known you how long?
Oh my gosh. It's been a long time. Because I think we've been, ever since you opened up.
So 10 years, basically.
Yeah, every Saturday.
Kendra and her husband, Brennan, have been very loyal customers of ours, and we appreciate it so much. So we've basically seen them and their little family grow up, which has been crazy. So Kendra and Brennan don't just have one set of twins. They have two sets of twins, and they are all boys.
Doing the Lord's work.
Bless you. So welcome. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We're really excited to have you and ask all the questions about twin life.
Yeah. Mom life. Lead us on the right path.
I just say, Sasha and I joke all the time about like having twins. And obviously, I know that right now I'm currently pregnant with only one. And I'm thankful for that because my first one is already like a lot.
Yeah.
I say to Sasha, if she decides to have another one, that you never know.
You never know.
It could happen. And I always remember the story that I heard of this girl who was convinced that she didn't know she was pregnant. She went on a roller coaster, then found out she was pregnant with identical twins. And she's convinced it's because she went on a roller coaster. The spinning upside down made the egg split. if you decide to have another one, Sasha, maybe avoid roller coasters at all costs.
I will. Yeah. At all costs. Sheldon will just,
because I know,
if I see one, he'll just shove me out of the way.
But there's also part of me that's like, having twins would be so cool. Yeah. And for you don't know any different.
I don't.
Which is crazy. So yeah. How, like, walk us through your first set of twins when you, like, how you found out, how you felt. Do you guys have twins in your family? I think you do, right? Brennan does?
Yeah, Brennan's dad is a twin.
Okay.
But it comes from the mom's side because it matters whether or not the mom produces two eggs or if the one egg splits. Okay. So, but the boys can carry the twin gene. So if Brennan were to have daughters, which no, and we're not having any more children, they could have twins. So my boys, if they have daughters, those daughters could have twins.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So that's kind of how it like skips a generation. Like that's what people say about it sometimes.
Because both your sets of twins are fraternal.
Yes. 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 They're both fraternal. So yeah.
And you do have twins on your side?
No. Nope.
Or it just so happens?
Nope. I'm just, people ask anomaly. Me, do twins run in my family? And I go, they do now.
Yeah.
I'm the start one. I'm the beginning.
That's awesome. So how did you feel when you first found out with your first set of twins? You go in for your ultrasound. I assume you found out at your ultrasound?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like?
I got in a little bit early because I had had some, like, you know, it's a very common symptom for early pregnancies that there's a bit of spotting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they had bumped up my ultrasound a little bit. And, you know, in my first pregnancy, the ultrasound took some time and she's just, you know, doing her thing. And, this was like pre-COVID. So my husband was able to be there. And so she brought him in afterwards and she goes, okay, turns the screen to us. Here's one baby. Here's another baby.
Oh my gosh.
I full out panicked. Like I could not speak. Like, I'm just like, what? Like, what are we going to do? And my husband was like, oh yeah, we got this. It's so exciting. Like he was so happy.
Because he's just used to the twin thing, I guess, with his dad.
Maybe? Well, yeah. Not even. Like, I just think he didn't realize, like, you know, we're both first-time parents. Like, babies are hard. And just oh my God. But, no, he was just like, hey, this is awesome. Like, there's two babies in there. Awesome. Oh, and then, you know, I phoned my mom after. I wanted to wait and show her the ultrasound, but she knew that I was going in because of, like, maybe something was wrong, maybe not. So she's like, is everything okay? I was like, Yeah, there's two babies. She's like, what? So it was just like, I think I just like couldn't handle life for like a week after that before it started settling in that there was like two babies coming.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah, it was wild.
Have you ever, had you ever before, like, thought that that would be a possibility or, like,
mentally
prepared yourself?
Like, not even little bit.
Joking. Yeah. Oh, it could be twins.
Yeah. Well, I got, like, you get your, like, your HCG levels tested, and mine was, like, a little bit higher than, like, the normal for how far along I would have been or how far along I was. And my friend was like, oh, maybe it's twins. And I was like, no. Like, don't even think about that. I was like, nuh-uh. Like, I didn't even, like, give it another thought after that. I was like, no, like, she's just, it's just, it's funny, it's a high number. I was like, it wasn't even that much higher. I can't remember the exact number, but it wasn't crazy high. Like, some people get ones where it's just, like, astronomically high for early on, and that wasn't my case. So I was like, nope, there's no chance. It's just one baby. And then just didn't think about it again. And ta-da, surprise!
Oh my gosh. So then how was your pregnancy and all of that carrying twins?
It was, you know, it was fine. Like, I think I had, like, an easy ride the first time around. And then, like, you know, the back pain starts a little sooner, I think. Like, I had awful tailbone pain. At one point, I couldn't, like, walk down the stairs at work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so do I go back up the stairs and take the elevator down? Or do I just, like, power through it and go finish the rest of the way? Because I was halfway. I was like, I don't know what to do, man. So I think that was, like, in the beginning, the worst part of it for me. Like, I went to Cairo, and that helped, and that might be, like, too, like, crunchy for people, but
we both go to the same chiropractor. Yeah. I actually just went to her for the first time in this pregnancy last week.
Yeah.
This week.
I was there this morning. I still go.
No, it's the best. Because I at one point could not walk either for a few weeks, like near the, like, closer to the end. But because we went to a, we actually just happened to be the same concert session. Without even knowing until we were there texting each other. We're both here. I was at the Chris Stapleton concert, and I was like, the way our seats were, I had to turn my body towards the stage. Uh-huh. And then that next day, I was like, what on earth? And just getting worse and worse. And my chiropractor was out of town.
Oh, no.
And I was like, because I was seeing her so consistently. And then, so like, somebody else that worked with her tried. All these people tried. And I just had to wait until she got back. When she got back, it was like 2 days and I was better.
Yeah.
But while she was gone, I was just like hobbling, working. Like, also could barely. So, like, get
that's
it.
That's a rough time for you.
Yeah, it was. The chiropractor's, like, well, she saved me my whole pregnancy. Yeah. So that is not crunchy. That is smart.
Yeah.
It is smart. Just go to a good one. And one that is, like,
certified
for pregnant women and children and stuff.
So, but, I mean, like, the second trimester came around, like, all that exhaustion goes away. And, like, I didn't have, like, any nausea. I think I threw up, like, 3 times that entire pregnancy.
Wow.
Yeah. And, and then I was a preterm labor risk and got put on bed rest at 28 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, I went into labor.
All twin pregnancies are considered high risk, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The type of twins that I had were the least risk. So they're called dye twins, or, like, dichorionic, someone will correct me, I'm sure, but dye mono something.
Okay.
That's not right. They're dye twins.
We don't know anyway.
I've heard the term dye twins
before. Yeah. I've heard dye something, but I don't remember the second part.
So
what does that mean?
That means they have two different sacs and two different placentas.
Okay. Because some babies share a placenta. Yes.
Yes.
And then, okay.
Yeah, and so that's a different kind of twin. So that's when your, like, risk of twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome is increased.
Yeah.
And my OB actually thinks at some point the placenta is, like, fused together. So there's a chance, he said, that they're identical. But when you look at them, there's just...
Yeah, no, they're not. Yeah.
Like, no, it's not.
It's crazy not how different they can look between twins. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I actually had gone into labor at 28 weeks, and they, like, give you the steroids and to stop the labor from progressing, because I think I at that point I was, like, 3 centimeters dilated.
Did your water break or anything?
No, I wasn't even feeling any contractions either. They're just like, oh, did you feel that? I was like, no.
How did you find out? Did you just go for a routine check or something?
I had, like, you get tons of ultrasounds.
Yeah, I believe it.
With a twin pregnancy, in the last trimester, it was, like, every 2 weeks I would go.
Oh, okay.
But no, I went for my routine one, and then, like, not even half an hour later, the OB's office was like, so the doctor's not here right now, but based on your ultrasound, I think he'd want you to go to the hospital. So, like, she called ahead to triage for me, and I was like, okay, like, is not everything fine?
At all. Like, yeah, I'm kidding. No information.
Just yeah. To the hospital. Yeah. She's like, just from based on your ultrasound, I'm going to send it to them right now. Like, you head on over there. And I was like, oh my God. So, like, yeah. So, thankfully, like, everything was okay because 28 weeks is really early for twins because really, they're so small.
Yeah.
It's even early for just one baby. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think 23 weeks is viable.
I think 24. Oh, I thought it was 24.
24? Oh, 24. I don't know. Somewhere actually, I just looked it up the other day because I was like wondering how close to that I was. Yeah. I thought it said 23, 24, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, I'm think sure. So.
26 also sounds right.
I'm sure it gets earlier and earlier the more. Because I feel like when I worked in the NICU. I could look it up right now.
The magic of technology. The
magic of
Google at your fingertips.
Yes. Yes. I feel like when I was working in the NICU for a brief period, it was like 26 weeks, but that was also like a very, very long time ago.
You're right. She's right. 24.
24. Mm. Yeah. That's why she has double what we have. She knows everything.
Oh, no. My brain capacity is like zero.
They give two to the ones who can handle it.
Yeah, exactly.
No new information can come in, but anything in the past, it's still there.
Yeah. That's great because even I have things from the past that should still be there. They're not there anymore.
Not there,
like, no. What happened to that information? But yeah. I can't remember songs, like all the lyrics from when I was 12 years old.
Totally.
Tell me why that happens.
Yeah. So after that, like, they sent me home. Because they were like, oh, how far do you live from the hospital? I was like, 10 minutes. I can be here within 10 minutes. He goes, oh, okay, then we won't keep you here. I was like, oh, God, please don't keep me here. Yeah, like, please don't keep me here.
How far along were they trying to get you?
They wouldn't let me go past 38 weeks.
Oh, okay, so they still wanted you, like, to get 10 weeks.
Yeah.
From where you were yesterday, yeah, also for 10 weeks.
Like, oh my God. Could you imagine?
I was,
like,
I was there for 2 days and my back could not handle that bed.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's awful. And yeah, so they sent me home. Like, the drugs did their job and they were like, okay. And because I think you'd mentioned it before in one of the previous episodes that you had the progesterone.
Yes.
I had that too.
Oh, yeah.
I had to do that. I did two little pills every day. And even though it's not studied in twin pregnancies and there's no research to support that it will help or not, mm-hmm, he said, here you go.
And that was at 28 weeks?
28 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
The end. Okay.
Yeah, until the end.
That's interesting because in my pregnancy, mm-hmm, I can't remember. These are things I can't remember. You think you're going to remember all the dates and you don't. Mm-hmm. But however far along I was, I feel like it was into the 20 weeks, the early 20 weeks, mm-hmm, is when I had to start tapering off of it and like not take it anymore.
Yeah, because you took it longer than I did because I only had to be on it, I think, 10 or 11 weeks.
Yeah, I think I was like done at the clinic. 18, 20, something like that, yeah, weeks. And then you go off of it. So it's interesting that they put you on it at that point.
Yeah, that is interesting.
But I obviously there's something, there's a reason.
Yeah, yeah. They're the doctors. They're the medical professionals.
That's so interesting. Now, had you already taken time off work? Were you set up for maternity leave, all that? Or were you just now I'm sorry, I have to stay home? Or could you work from home?
At that point, the work from home like wasn't so much of an option.
Okay.
So they wrote me off work because I was like fully in office at that point.
Yeah.
I had to use my sick time.
No way.
Yeah. Because, I asked, like, they're like, no, because your doctors, you know, put you off of work. Like, you, until you're deemed fit to come back, you have to use your sick time and off you go. Like, I had my vacation all planned to set up my maternity leave. Yeah. And it was all turned into sick time until the babies were born.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you don't get, like, paid medical leave through EI or anything for that?
If I didn't have sick time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thankfully, because I used to never get sick before children, I had enough sick time to carry me through.
Right.
Yeah. Thankfully, I have a nice job that has a sick bank.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the babies came 6 weeks early, so.
6 weeks.
What a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they had some NICU time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long were they in the NICU?
Theo was in there for 19 days, and Logan was in there 21 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that hard, like, seeing them separate? Well, of course it's hard being away from them, mm-hmm, you, especially as a first-time mom and all that. Like, I can't imagine, and that's, I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's really hard.
Yeah.
But, like, was it also hard watching them be separated?
And yeah, it feels very weird. It felt wrong to leave the hospital without your baby.
Yes.
Yeah. And course. Then it felt even like it felt really terrible to leave one of them there and take the other one home.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I mean, it all turned out like at the end of the day, the NICU was a very, very tiny blip in their life.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's for hopefully their, it's for the best for them.
Yeah. Like they're where they need to be. The people who know what to do when things go wrong, like they're going to be able to fix it and not be me, the first time parent to two babies panicking at home going, oh my gosh, are they still breathing? Like, yes, they're fine.
That must be extra difficult though with the NICU for any NICU parents, because you're, especially as the mom, of course it's hard on the dad too, but because the mom, because of the hormones and the flood of emotions that you're already having just based on just giving birth, then piling the emotional toll of having your babies not with you and in the NICU on top of that, I can't even, I can't imagine.
Yeah. And the doctors were nice to me too. They gave me an extra day in maternity because it wasn't busy. So they let me stay an extra day. So I would just be down the hall and not have to go home and get a ride. Cause you know, post C-section, you can't do anything.
Right. So you had a C-section with them.
I did. Yeah. Because the baby A was breached. So they won't let you try natural. Yes. Like baby A is breached.
Did you find out what you were having at
I
the time?
I did. I was so sure that my mom was going to like disown me because she's like, you should never find out what you're having. It should always be a surprise when it happens because it's what pushes you to get through it.
Your mom's our kind of people.
And I was on that team.
Opposite of my mom.
Yeah, your mom was like, find out.
Yeah, she's like, I need to go shopping. I'm like, you're going to be fine. You have plenty of time for that.
Yeah, and I was on that team too. But the second I saw that there was two, and I was like, I'm a planner. Yeah. I need to get my shit together. Yes. I need to have all my stuff.
That would be one thing that would make me reconsider. Yeah. I still think I wouldn't find out now, but I think like before I had Brooklyn, I maybe would have found out.
Yeah.
If I had two. But now since I experienced not finding out, I feel like I wouldn't find out if I had two a second like a second time.
I think also,
but I don't know. Like it's hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I think also the ease of like online shopping now would push me to not find out. Because before, like if everything
you
can, wasn't,
they could be stitching you up, and you're like, okay, like on your phone,
like, wasn't at your fingertips, and you wanted like cute dresses or like little suspenders and bow ties or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, you would have to like load up two babies and get in the car and go drive to a store, which I can't even imagine.
No.
I can't. I nannied, but like I can't imagine.
Yeah, you nannied twins.
I did.
Yeah,
from when they were 2 weeks old, but like. I got to give them back. I was the extra set of hands, so I couldn't imagine like just having that nonstop. But yeah, like you can I guess you can plan more now with online shopping.
We're you and I, Sasha, are definitely in the minority of not like finding out or finding out. Majority of people want to find out and do find out.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Especially with twins. Like, people would be like, you're crazy. Like, you're going to find out with two babies?
Totally.
Like, that is a little crazy.
Like, the surprise was enough with, like...
Yeah, well, that's exactly... It's like, I've had enough surprises.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. I don't know. I'd really have to think about that one. But...
Find out one, not the other.
Yeah, could you imagine? Well, there's this couple on... they're just, like, content creators. And they... they're a lesbian couple, and they were at, the one who was pregnant was at, well, I guess they were both there, but was talking to the lady at the front desk, and asking her to put the gender reveal, like, just in an envelope or whatever, and I don't know how it came out, but she went like, they're both the same, or something like that, but they already knew one of them, and they were going to do this like special thing for the other one, just the two of them on the beach or something, and this is something special for them to find out what the second one was.
Yeah,
they ended up having two boys too, but and she was so angry because the lady just, and she was like, what, like, you know, like, not my problem kind of thing.
Yeah,
I would be like, I've expressed many times on this podcast how devastated I'd be if somebody accidentally told me.
Yeah.
But could you imagine just being like, oh yeah, and like so nonchalant. It's like, I don't care that it's not your, like, their priority for you, lady behind the desk.
Totally.
Like, but this is a big deal for the person.
Yeah, who, like, is, I get that you see this every
pregnant
day.
Yeah.
But I,
like,
don't.
The way people just like We can let it slip like that. I don't know.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad. Yeah. Like, let the people... So you guys, when you did... You sent me videos.
I did.
So you guys, what did you shoot into the rock side? What was that?
My husband is an avid competitive shooter, or like he used to be competitive. He has no time for hobbies now.
Fair enough.
We went to the gun range and had a little gender reveal party there with just my close family and a few couple friends. And he set up an exploding target. He gave his sister the color of paint to put on the stand. And there's like a explosive that when you shoot it, it goes boom.
That's awesome.
And he did that twice.
Oh my gosh.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you found out you were having two boys? Were you expecting like the same...
No,
sex or both kids, or...
I wasn't sure. The doctor kind of let it slip that they were the same.
Okay.
He doesn't mean to, of course. Yeah. He like gave me a disclaimer in the very beginning saying, you know, if I say he, it doesn't necessarily mean you're having a boy. It's just I say he or she and I mix them up all the time. And so I think I had asked him a question if he knew if they were identical or fraternal. And he goes, oh, there's a chance that they're identical, but it's probably fraternal. And I was like,
so there's a chance.
Okay, well, if they're identical,
yeah,
then you know they're the same.
Yeah.
But
you read between the lines.
Yeah, so you could kind of figure it out. So I saw the one go blue and I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're probably both boys. And they were. And yeah. it was good. I'm just like, oh, well, you know, brothers, they'll be built-in besties.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I have a little boy tribe. And
little did you know.
Yeah. It was just the beginning.
So then when you guys decided to have your next child, or it turned out to be children.
Yeah.
What did the doctors there give you, like, what the chances are that you would have another set of twins?
The funny thing about how the second set came around is that they came around a lot sooner than they were maybe intended to be.
Yep. I don't know what that's like at all.
What are you talking about?
You how could you?
And I'm sure many people have gone through that before.
Yeah, really, you're much more fertile after you have the first child.
So no, he didn't, the doctor wasn't really like giving me any chance of how, common it is to have twins again after, but like, you know, it is more common to have twins again if you've already had a set, especially if they're fraternal. So Dr. Google says your chances go up by 30%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said that to my OB and he goes, no, there's no way. There's no way it's that common. Because he asked me, he's like, what are you doing back here? I was like, well.
Take one guess.
You read the referral.
You have one job.
You know babies are made.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you find out you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was your first thought as far as, were you like, did you think like, oh my gosh, what if it's twins?
Yeah. That was like the second thing I thought.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. PTSD. So how far apart are your sets of twins?
The first ones are June 2019 and the second ones are April 2022.
Okay.
So they're just under 3 years apart.
Okay.
So for a very short time, we had four children under the age of three.
Bless you. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I guess, hey, get it all done while you like at once. I don't know.
Yeah. That one was very surprising, and I went, oh, okay, here we go. And oh my god, what if it's twins again? And so the blood test comes in and go, okay, it looks like it's just the levels for how far along I am right now. It's just one baby. I'm convinced it's one baby. I go in for my ultrasound because again, had those early symptoms of spotting, and they bumped me up by like 2 weeks or something. And the midwife couldn't see anything on their like in office Doppler. So they sent me in, and the tech starts asking me, she goes, oh, you have a set of twins at home? I'm like, yeah, two boys. She goes, oh, did you and your husband talk about how, like, how big your family wanted to be? And, like,
get to the point.
And I was like, this ultrasound's taking a while.
Like, she's buttering me up. What's going on?
And then she starts talking about how she has, like, this huge family with all these siblings, and she had a very happy childhood with all her siblings. And then she starts asking me more questions, and I was like, I don't like the sound of this question. I said this to her. I said, I don't like the sound of this question. She goes, oh, well, how come? I was like, because I am hoping that there is just one baby in there. Just one. So she finally gets done all of her stuff, and she turns the screen towards me, and I go, oh, no. No, like, I love all of my children. Of course, I love my boys.
Of course. Yeah.
But, like, you see that screen, you see the two on there, and you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, like.
And, like, this time I know what I'm getting into.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know how hard it was and how little sleep we had in the very beginning. I'm just like, oh, no. We have to do this again with toddlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, it was a very stressful time.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And I was so sick.
Oh, really?
I was so sick almost the entire pregnancy.
So what was Brennan's reaction the second time?
I was going to say, was he as calm the second time?
I phoned him because he couldn't be there for that one.
Oh.
So I phoned him and I go, okay, everything's okay, but it's twins again. And he goes, again?
Very calm reaction. But I guess, like, what else do you do? Like, you just power through it.
Yeah. So here we are.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so, then did you have to, like, go on bed rest or anything with the second set?
No, I didn't. Okay. I was totally fine. I worked as long as I felt like it. I set up all my vacation time. And I worked until that last day before my vacation, and I was, like, good to go. I got my house all cleaned, like, and all organized and prepared for whenever these babies were going to come. Because I was due on early May. I was due early May, but they came in April. So they came 4 weeks early instead of 5.5 weeks early. So I got an extra 10 days in this pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, like, this one was, it was relatively easy compared to the first one. I was just, you know, I was more tired. I was more sore. Like, the pregnancy itself was easy, but I was sick, like, the whole time. Really? Whether it be, like, throwing up or, like, just a cold, I got everything. I got everything.
Because your immune system's down and you have toddlers at home.
Like,
and they were in daycare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, they're bringing, like, everything home.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I got everything. So I was like miserable. I was like, where is the pregnancy glow? Like, where is it?
Yeah. It's from after you're puking, you know, like, that's kind of glistening sweat you have. Yeah. That's
popping the vessels. Glow.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Oh
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, this for, and with this one, this pregnancy, my water actually did break.
Oh, did?
Yeah, in the middle of the night. Yeah. I woke up and you play that game, like, is it sweat or pee or or amniotic fluid? And it was amniotic fluid.
Oh my gosh. So then did you have, like, childcare set up for the other two, or, like, what was the plan that way?
We phoned my mother-in-law to come and
that's good.
Be there for when the big kids woke up, and she would get them. The plan was for her to get them ready and go to daycare like it's a regular day. And, yeah, because it was like 2:30 in the morning or something. Because babies never come at a convenient time.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Did you have another C-section?
Didn't.
You did? Oh.
I had a VBAC.
Oh my gosh, a twin? Yeah, good for you. Tell me all about it.
I know. I'm like, we need
to know. One. You did it with two? Change my mind.
Yeah, I know. And, like, so there's a particular OB who was working that night, and he tried to push me into a C-section. And I said, that's not the plan.
Good for you.
I'm doing a VBAC.
Wow.
And he just, like, crossed his arms and walked away, and I never saw him again. So, because it was, like, close to shift change.
I'm going
to
ask you offline which doctor that was.
Yeah. Yeah, and so shift change came. I got into my room, and it was, like, because the second I get there, I go, I want an epidural. I want an epidural. I want an epidural. Like, give it to me, like, smart. 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because, like, my doctor said, when you get there, just ask for it. Because you never know if you have to wait for it. You never know if you're, like, next in line or, like, fourth in line, or if something emergent comes up. So just ask for it right away. And mm-hmm. so that's what I did at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you know what time I got it? 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh my gosh, yeah. And it was because of that doctor, because he wanted to get me into a spinal and do this C-section.
And what was his reasoning for that?
Because it was a twin delivery. Mm.
Oh, so he just mm-hmm. thought like the risks were.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not an advocate for VBAC at all.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of that in, not so much here, but that's surprising to hear mm-hmm. that it's still the case, like in Canada, like with our healthcare, with like how supportive a lot of people are. But I guess it just depends on the doctor and.
Yeah, and how comfortable they are with it. Like the, you have to, I think you like should ask if you're like a good candidate for it. And I don't know like what the prerequisites are for it or anything, but
I was actually just speaking with my midwife about it last week.
Oh.
And she was asking, because where I go they have a mix of doctor, like a doctor and midwife, so then
I went there too.
I thought they didn't do twin pregnancies.
They don't. They referred me elsewhere. Well, they referred me to the OB for my prenatal care, and then I went to them for postpartum.
Yeah, they're the best.
I they're love awesome. Them. Hi, everybody. I'm sure you remember me if you're listening.
Some of them do listen, I think. I had seen Dr. Nival, Mary, Dr. Nival. The first couple times I've went back, and this time I saw the midwife, Laura. You just kind of see somebody different mm-hmm. usually when you go. So her and I were discussing it, cause I had already discussed it with Dr. Nival, and she was just asking me like, how do you feel about it? And do you have any questions? And I don't know. I'm not 100% decided. Mm-hmm. I really would love to have a VBAC based on recovery,
mm-hmm.
but am I a little bit scared to do it because if something were to go wrong and they end up in an emergency C-section, recovery is worse? Yes. So what she was saying, now I was under the impression that if you are going to have a C-section, scheduled, that generally they do it at 39 weeks, which is the case. However, she said what you can do is you can book it for 40 weeks or just after 40 weeks. And then you already have it booked. So if you go into labor before that, you can decide like in that moment, even if you want. That like, no, I'm going to like, I'm ready in this. Like, let's just try for VBAC. Mm. And then, but at least you already have a scheduled date. Like if you make it to that date.
Right.
So really you can, so I was like, I can like literally decide like last minute.
Like, and game
she's like,
time
she's like, yeah, I recommend that we, if you think you're probably going to have a C-section, so we'll schedule one.
Yeah.
But if you decide right before it or whatever, that you don't want that, like you don't have to do it, but at least it's there for you and you're not having to then wait, and like if you change your mind at the last minute, then you have to schedule something. So it can be like a game time decision. So I kind of like that, because I'm like, well, maybe if I feel like, if I, because with Brooklyn I went into labor 4 days early, or like 4 days prior to my scheduled C-section, my water broke, all this stuff. I only had a C-section because she was breech, so I had to, they just like took me right in, right? But because I had already, like my body had started the process, I'd be like, oh, maybe I would. So maybe if I, with this baby, if my water breaks and I feel like, and I'm like quite dilated or whatever, maybe I'll give it a go. If the baby seems ready and everything looks good.
Yeah.
I might give it a go.
Well, also like Brooklyn was small too. So I feel like that.
Yes.
You would have on your side if the next one is kind of the same.
Yeah. Well, because Brooklyn was so small, they're actually monitoring me more. Mm-hmm. I'm taking double the aspirin this time because it just like helps with like the placenta and the blood flow and all that. And they're doing a couple extra ultrasounds in my third trimester to make sure that my placenta is feeding the baby as much as it should be, and like giving them everything they should have. Because she was like when I went in this time, she was like, okay, well, we need to talk about this because Brooklyn was actually like in like the 2%, like really small for her age. She made up for it in like no time
sure
at all.
Sure, she did.
Yeah, she's freaking huge. But yeah, so that's what I'm gonna need to. So yeah, if I knew the baby was small, I'd have a better. I would be like, maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm actually very inspired that you did it with two. So
yeah, tell me,
like, tell us the story. Tell us how it went. Whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Well, I by the time I got the epidural, I think I only. It was like an hour later where she's like, oh, you're like, you're ready to go. Let's rally the troops. Cause like, let's go.
Amazing.
All right. Well, that's nice. Cause I only had to press a little button to give me more drugs a couple of times. Yeah. If I remember correctly.
Can I just ask one thing before we keep going?
Uh-huh.
Are contractions everything worse with two? Like, I know you don't know because you haven't experienced it the other way, but did you hear anything about that? Like,
no, that's a good question though.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
I mean, it wasn't great. I had back labor, and then it
worst.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. That's thought of that. I wonder if it's any different.
I mean, I'm not the right person to ask that one. I'm sure there's lots of people who have twins and then a singleton.
Yeah.
But
that would be interesting because it's like it's still just the one. Like muscle contracting. Yeah. But I wonder. Yeah.
But there's like more things in the way. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Getting them into position more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When it's working for two instead of just getting one into, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. No,
yeah, look it up when we're done. Yeah. I'll report back.
Yeah. And so, I mean, when you have a twin pregnancy, they make you deliver in the operating room just in case things go south.
I
didn't know that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
So it's very bright.
And there's like a thousand people.
That must be like thousand people.
Sterile. Like you think like, oh, I'm going to have like fake candles and music and all this stuff. And you're in the OR, which is the...
Yeah. And for this one, it was actually like the negative pressure OR. Because I had had a positive rapid test when I went in because I had had a positive rapid test at that point, and
of course
I know and so then they did like the nasal swab for me as well, but that doesn't come back till like 12 hours later. So because I had to be in that room, I couldn't have any support people with me.
Not even your husband?
Nope. Nope.
I would have lost my shit.
Oh yeah, gosh. And you know,
good for you. And also, how sad!
I know.
That's so sad for you, and so sad for Brennan.
Well, especially in that situation,
like
where
not
it's
seeing
like,
your children be born.
We've been together this long. We've been in the same room. Like, if I have it in quotes, like he's already been exposed. It's too late for him.
I think it's not him getting exposed. It's all the other people. Like,
but well, she's there, and right? Like everybody else.
No, I agree with you. You know what I mean? Like, it's silly. You're wearing masks. Everybody's wearing. I don't know.
Well, but... and part of the problem is he had symptoms. Like, I woke him up in the middle of the night saying, "Hey, it's time to go. It's go time. Like, we're having babies." And he like, this poor guy was so. I guess he got anxious and just he threw up.
Aww.
Because like you know. I threw up. Like, I was throwing up, too,
because
of the pain.
Oh,
But, you know, like, no one likes to be woken up after having, like, half an hour of sleep, and you're just like, yeah. And it's a very anxious, stressful time. Yeah. But because he had symptoms, they did not allow him in even to stay in the hospital with me.
Oh, my
God. I'm sorry.
It blew. And so my mom came, so I had her.
Oh, so was she allowed to be in there with you? No.
No.
She was just outside
she
came out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was, like, waiting in, like, my my room that they had put me in. And then, because they weren't going to let her be, like, anywhere near the room until like the very last second when they said go get grandma, let her come, and like so she was able to watch through the window when they came. So there was that. But no, like in the actual room with me, it was just me and all of the medical professionals.
Oh, gosh.
So and the nurses in there were lovely.
Yeah,
I don't remember their names, but they were lovely. And the doctor who delivered them was lovely.
Yeah.
So I think I pushed for like an hour and maybe a little more than an hour.
Did somebody like hold your hand or anything, like the nurse or?
No, they held my legs.
Oh yeah, fair enough, I guess. Yeah. How many minutes apart were the boys?
Eight minutes.
8 minutes apart.
Oh,
eight minutes
apart. That's fast. I feel like. Go
yeah, yeah. It was fast.
Yeah, it's
yeah. Crazy. I was ready to have my body back.
Yeah, I believe it. And how big were they when they were born?
Riley was 6 pounds, 1 ounce.
Wow. He's bigger
than
Brooklyn. I was going to say Brooklyn, right? Yeah.
And Tristan was 5 pounds, 7.
Wow.
Yes. So they were bigger than the big kids. We call them the bigs and the littles.
Oh my gosh. That's so cute.
So the big ones, when they were born, they were 5 pounds, 3 and 4 pounds, 3.
Oh, okay.
So they were bigger because they had an extra 10 days.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens at the end, how rapidly they grow.
Totally. Yeah, I think they say it's like a pound and a half every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So then how long did you need to stay in the hospital after, since you did a VBAC? Just like a day or two, you got to go home?
I made them release me early. I said, get me out of here.
I like how assertive you are.
Yeah. I was so angry at that time. Yeah. Yeah, because it was a really, like, shitty situation for me.
Yeah.
Because I was in, like, the isolation room, like, mm-hmm. on, like, droplet protocol, I feel like the cafeteria staff were afraid to deliver my meals in. So, oh. like, there was, like, a whole day where, like, not one person, not even the nurse who was assigned to me, would bring in my meal tray. The only reason I got fed is because my mom would be happened to be coming to visit at that time and saw the tray out there and said, what? Is this for her? Yeah. There was one morning.
The nurse is walking into your room for you. Yeah. They wouldn't even bring your food.
No, no. And then, like, the dirty trays would stay there forever. That's
crazy.
I think the morning, it was, like, because, like, they bring breakfast around at, like, 7 or 7:30, yeah. right? They brought my breakfast tray in at 11:30. Oh, I said, you need to let me go home where I can get cared for by people who love me. Like, if I can go Absolutely. Home, I will get food. And, yeah. like, I'm supposed to be producing breast milk and nobody's feeding me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even leave my room. I'm, like, I'm a prisoner in this isolation room. Like, let me leave.
Yeah. And your boys were in the NICU. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were both in NICU and I couldn't go visit them.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah, because I was still having symptoms. Oh so, yeah, I had a cough, so they wouldn't let me go. Which is, you know, that's the protocol for NICU everywhere. It just really sucked at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
and that's I get it, because obviously, like, I don't want to get all the other little babies sick. Yeah, or my own.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Ugh. Yeah, and then, so I got to go home, and then the night I went home, the pediatrician called me and said, hey, you know, one of your little ones has a hole in their lung, so we need to give him a chest tube and we need to ship him off to a higher level NICU.
Oh, what? My gosh.
Yeah.
A different hospital?
Different hospital. So oh they went, he ended up in Surrey.
Oh, my goodness. Surrey. So your boys were at different hospitals mm-hmm. in the NICU. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that you had a rough, like, experience, but I yeah. didn't know yeah. the details of it. And, yeah, no, that's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's rough. And it was all a long you're time, trying to recover, and you have yeah. your other two yeah. at home, and, like...
Like, the hormones.
Everything.
And everything.
And... Mm-hmm. And I think at one point, because I couldn't go, like, my husband would go, and my mother-in-law would go, and my father-in-law would go to visit Tristan in Surrey. And then I think when my mother-in-law went, the nurse there was like, you know, Kendra needs to figure out who can come here because we can only have one visitor. And so she told me that and I said, I'm going to call up that NICU right now and ask to speak to the charge nurse.
Yeah.
And I ripped him a new one. I said, I can't even go there. So whoever wants to go visit my baby, they're going to come. And if you don't let them,
yeah.
then you're going to come and talk to me again because this is a situation. I have no control over what happens right now, but this is the one thing I'm going to control.
Yeah.
So I used to be a little bit of a pushover before mm-hmm. having kids and going through all this stuff, but like you wrong me, like no.
And your mom
there.
Yeah. It changes you, right?
It and, like, does.
You have to advocate for yourself cuz
yeah.
and your kids. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not like that anymore.
Good for you. Yeah. Yeah, good for you.
So everything ended up okay? Like
yes.
Did they have to do, like, surgery or anything? Or like
no. Okay, so he had a chest tube for a few days. And the reason they sent him to Surrey is because of the staffing levels they mm-hmm. had in Abbotsford. They didn't have enough staff to ensure that he was able to be monitored closely enough
right.
because of how complicated his situation was.
Right.
I'm glad they had the foresight, at least...
Yeah.
yeah.
Even though it's a sucks that he was like shipped off there,
mm-hmm.
at least that they knew like it could be a bad situation if we can't monitor this correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was getting the care that he needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So he had just a chest tube for a couple of days, and then mm-hmm. they do X-rays to see if it's like working, and then they remove the chest tube, and more X-rays to make sure that nothing's like the hole is all sealed up.
Yeah.
And then he came home on Easter that year. So oh. he was only in NICU for 11 days.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riley was in the NICU for 6 days. So, yeah.
What was that feeling like to have all four boys under your roof at the same time?
Oh, my gosh. Day? Like, it was the best feeling. Like, yeah. you know how they tell you that you produce the most breast milk when you're happy. Mm-hmm. That night, I produced the most I'd ever done in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
I had such a hard time producing breast milk, too. Like, my breastfeeding journey was very short.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, like, that overwhelming feeling of joy. Yes. Like, having them all there, it was so emotional. Like, I probably bawled my face off.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I think there's a picture of me holding them that day when they both were there.
Oh.
So... yeah, it was the best.
Oh, yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. How did the big ones react to their new brother?
Oh, they love them so much. Yeah, yeah, they're just the best big brothers. They would help me, get the bottle and bring it over to them. Oh. They would find their soother when they needed it. They'd make sure they had a blanket. They were just the best little helpers. And you kind of underestimate how much they can do when they're so little, but they were so sweet. There was one day I had one of the babies on the floor in like one of those like little like lounger things.
Oh yeah.
And he started to cry, and I look over because I'm in the kitchen trying to get something. And I look over and one of the bigger guys just like looks over at him and like puts his hand on his chest.
Aww.
And it made him stop crying. I was like,
and that makes you start crying.
It was the sweetest thing. It was so cute. And they were just always like that. They were just the sweetest big brothers. And now that the little ones are bigger, they can roughhouse more. Mm-hmm. And they forget how little they are. They're almost two. And just in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Because and like they're a couple months older than the girls. So
yeah.
Girls,
yeah. But sometimes they're all for it. Like the little ones will just be like all into the roughhousing. Like, yeah, like let's jump on each other. Mm-hmm. And like roll around and, you know, typical brother stuff.
Yeah. So you have a lot on your plate, and you and Brennan both work full time, right?
Yeah, we do both work full time.
I don't know how you do that well. That's crazy.
It's probably like a nice break.
It's good for you. Well, I imagine, being able to spend them all to daycare is probably nice.
Yes, like I have told many people that work is the easiest part of my day.
I believe it.
Sometimes, like, I honestly think it's a miracle that we can get out the door at the relatively the same time every morning during the week. Because on the weekend, it's just like, when there's no, like, deadline to get anywhere, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Like, we can try to leave at, like, 10 o'clock. We don't get out the door till like, 10:45. We're like, damn it, all the good stuff is sold out.
You need, like, a bat phone.
Just call. Well, you don't have to call.
I know.
Just text me.
I know.
No, but we love getting visits from you guys, and your boys, and it's been really fun to watch. Let them grow up, the older two, and then now the other two come, and now all six of you come in, but like four of the boys.
Yeah.
The older two running around, the two in the stroller.
Fun. I'm usually outside with the dog.
Yeah. Brennan's usually the one trying to like corral them in the store.
I think one of the funniest memories we have of going in there is in the fall time. I don't remember if it was last fall or the year before, but you had all this like beautiful fall decor set up, like all these like nice leaves and things on the walls. And my big kids run in and go, "It's a mess in here."
Oh yeah. I remember that. One of them was trying to take something down like off the wall. And because
oh my god.
They're cute. So we love them. So gosh, I still feel like I have so many questions. Like, I know we already talked a lot. One thing I wonder about is with twins, sleep. How does that start? How do you, if you sleep coach, sleep train them, sleep, like, do they sleep together or first they sleep apart? How do you do that?
You know, I usually try not to speak too much about sleep with other people because
people are judgmental.
No, it's because I have really great sleepers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And
you know what? You deserve it.
Yeah.
I needed one thing that was easy, right?
All twin parents need good sleepers. Yeah. That should be the requirement.
But did they sleep like when they were they first came home, and like when do they get separated into their own beds? Because at first, like I see on Instagram, things like that, people with twins, they're often in the same bassinet. Or whatever, because they're used to being close to each other, right?
Yeah.
So when do you kind of, like, cut the cord a little bit and, like, separate them and...
Well, if you follow safe sleep guidelines, they should not be in the same crib or bassinet at all once they get home. Oh, however, okay.
I don't think a lot of people do that.
No, not a lot of people do that. We kept them in the same crib together, like both sets, and in the same crib together until they could roll.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
The first time we saw one of them roll, it was like, no, out you go, because we don't want you to smother each other. Because you know, guys, with those milestones, you just, one day they can do it, and you know, one day before they couldn't do it at all, and just suddenly they're rolling.
Like no signs of anything. And you're like, how did you get there?
I think we woke up one morning to one of them like completely the opposite direction with their feet like close to the other one's head. I was like, okay, it's time.
Yeah. Say goodbye.
Yeah. So, and until that point, like they were in our room sleeping with us, and then we moved them into their own cribs in their own room.
Oh, wow.
So the first set were angel sleepers, 4 months old, they slept through the night. That's how it works, isn't it? That's how it works.
No, mine's a terrible sleeper. But you're like, that'll be this one's angel
that'll
sleeper.
Be me.
Yeah, so from 4 months on, they slept through the night. It was
amazing.
Amazing. Just on their own. Like, on their own. Like, we did a little bit of sleep training, like, you know, you've heard like of the Ferber method, I think, where you just let them cry it out, and you know, your heart just can't take it. I think I lasted 10 minutes the first night, and I'm just like, oh my god, like, this is awful. So I'd go in and I'd pat their back and like try and settle them again, and then I think I maybe my memory is just crappy about it at this point, or it was this easy. My husband can probably correct me on that too. But it didn't feel like very long of doing that before they were actually like, I could just put them down and leave.
Wow.
And they're fine. They either go to sleep or they cry for like a minute and they put themselves down. Mm. And, you know, to this day, they're 4 and a half now. Amazing. Sometimes it's a battle to get them to go to bed, but they don't wake up at night.
Really? Mm-hmm. Do they, like, now at that age, do they, like, talk to each other, keep each other awake and, like, want to play? And do they try and crawl into each other's cribs and stuff? Like, climb in?
Well, the big kids have their twin-size beds.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, because we made them get their own bed because we needed the cribs for the little
Fair
ones.
Enough. Yeah.
So.
No, Brooklyn's been in a bed since she was, what, like?
Oh, what, six? Seven? No, maybe like, a little bit older than
like
that.
10 months, 11 months, like in a bed, because she was hurting herself in her crib.
Oh no,
girl likes to throw herself around. So,
oh yeah, like her and Gray were playing in Gray's crib the other day, and I was like, if you had a crib at this moment, you would just be covered in bruises.
Yeah,
she can't contain, like, she can't be contained in that.
No, she's like, what is this? I'm not a caged animal. Let me go. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so right now, like, bedtime can be, like, so awful, depending on how tired they are or how long they've napped at daycare. Mm. But, so we've shortened their daycare nap. But, yeah, it can be, like, our bedtime routine for the big kids can be, like, an hour.
Mm.
And we leave, we say goodnight. Like, we have a pretty solid routine. And then they can be exhausted, like, face down on the pillow, eyes closed. The second we close the door, they're like, hey. Want to play a game? And I can hear them giggling in there and like laughing and playing with their toys because they have to have like 8,000 things to sleep with each night.
Yeah.
And now their new thing is to have a fort. They want a fort in their bed. So like we have like stuffed animals and a blanket set up on each bed for them to sleep in.
So cute.
That's adorable.
And do the other, so then what about the other two?
The other
were they
two
as good of sleepers?
No.
No.
They were not. They woke up at least once per night until they were born in April and it was December, so that long.
See, that still sounds good to me. But when in comparison to your first two. So if one wakes up, then they just wake the other one up.
No, they sleep through it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unless it's like really, really bad, but they sleep through it. And I think that's what a small benefit of the NICU is that they get used to the noise and the lights and the sounds, and they can sleep through other things and
like the beeping and the
and you know the NICU is never really super quiet,
right?
There's always a beeping IV somewhere, but no, like they thankfully don't wake each other up. It's a little bit harder now that they got older, but when they were like teeny tiny, it was just like, no, nothing would wake the other one up.
Amazing. Oh,
and
awesome.
It was, mm-hmm.
Do they have like similar bedtimes then, or is okay.
Yeah.
It's like you have to just get everyone on the same schedule.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the little ones have to go to bed a little bit earlier. So we get them in like 7:30 and then the big ones are like 8:30.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, but sometimes they don't fall asleep till like 9:30.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, you know what? We have to wake you up at 6:30 tomorrow. You're going to be real tired.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it was like, I went back to work early. So I went back to work in January and they started sleeping through the night in December.
Amazing.
Just like, oh, thank you. Thank you for that tiny gift.
It's like they know, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. They just know. So I swear Brooklyn started sleeping through the night when I found out I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how?
She's like, okay, I've done enough.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, thank you. That was a gift. How did you know?
Yeah. She's like, well, I couldn't prevent it from happening, so I guess I'll just get it.
Yeah. She's like, I tried by waking up five times a night. She's that only child energy.
So what I saw one of your posts on Instagram about crazy things that people say to you in public, and I was like, I can't believe that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some things that you can't believe people say to you still? And like, I guess maybe advice for everyone that's listening. If you see people with four children, like do not, don't come at them.
The most common one that I get from complete strangers off the street is, so are you going to have girls next?
Mm-mm.
Like, I have the choice, but no.
Yeah. I'm like, are my children not enough for you? Like, what?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Why do we sound like there's something wrong with having,
exactly,
like, all the same sex.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No, so that's the most common one. I think the rudest one was some guy saying, oh my gosh, do you have two sets of twins? I'd be getting a vasectomy. Just like, really? Like, you think that's a helpful comment to me right now?
Yeah.
Like, that's really rude.
I'll give one to you right now if you want.
Yeah. I'll find a scalpel.
Say one more thing.
There's a dirty knife here somewhere.
I can't believe that. Just people are just unhinged with comments. I mean, not even just having four children. Just people with kids in general. Like, shut your mouth. Just say, you're doing a great job and move on.
Yeah, like people are just so fascinated by twins. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I always wanted twins. I'm just like, why? I asked them why. And then when the second ones came around, I went, I have a spare set. Do you want one?
It's like I have my backup.
Yeah.
Did the boys have, like, are they all very different personalities or... Because we were talking earlier about how one of the boys in your older set and one of the boys in your younger set look identical to each other, and they're different sets of twins. Yeah. But that's just looks. So, like, how do the personalities go?
Oh, well, those two baby A's, they're two peas in a pod. They are like the same.
Really?
They're just like full force. Like, I'm gonna go for it. I am so excited and I love life. And yeah, they have the same energy.
Crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all pretty high energy. You know, Tristan's my little drama queen drama king. Yeah, he's a little prince. I think out of the two of little ones, he is the most vocal.
Mm.
He knows more words. And if he doesn't have a cracker right now, he's going to scream your face off. Yeah.
He needs it's like Mary Gray.
The end of things.
Who set them up?
Gray it's is like, a cracker queen.
Oh my gosh. He is like 90% cracker.
Yeah. Like, you gotta do what you
gotta do. Yeah. Like, he walks out of his room after I change him in the morning and he runs over into the little corner where we keep the crackers and he yells at Dad, "Kaka!" Like, until you give him one. And it can't just be one. It's one for both hands.
Of course.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can't be broken. They have to be full crackers.
Oh.
particular.
Yes.
He's like, it's the one thing
he's
I can
like,
control.
No, I know better. He's like, that's half a cracker. Yeah. I want the full cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he, so he's my baby B in the little ones, and baby B in the big ones doesn't like icing. They don't, neither of them like icing. Interesting. They're very strange children. Like, one of them, and Tristan actually doesn't like banana muffins with chocolate chips in them.
Oh.
And Logan has only just started eating cookies with icing on top of them. So if you got a cookie in the bakery that's had icing on it, nope.
Yeah. No,
nope. Has to be the chocolate chip.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And the bittersweet, which one likes the bittersweet brownie?
Oh, both of the big ones.
Oh, the both are big yeah. ones, yeah.
Yeah. They asked me for a brownie cake for their birthday last year. And I did not think far enough ahead to get them one for their actual birthday. Because they did not have a bittersweet brownie on that day. Oh. I had to make one from a box.
Yeah, you should. Like I said, just text me. I can make it. I'm happy to make them an extra brownie. It's not a big deal.
This year. This year it's happening.
Yeah, let me know in advance. I'm happy to do that for you guys. The least yeah. I can do.
So was it harder, would you say, going from like 0 to 2 or 2 to 4?
I had so much help the second time around.
Yeah.
That it doesn't that's a great question. Because my husband is so involved. So, like, if I need to sleep, I sleep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There, you would never be able to say that he is a not involved father because he is, like, the best. He is so amazing. You know, probably the 0 to 2 because it's just, like, completely rocks your world upside down.
Yeah, you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, and you're just, like, every little ailment, if they get sick, you're just like, oh my god, like, do I go to the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you go there and they're just like, why are you here?
So because I'm a first-time parent. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
There is no book for this. Yeah.
The Tylenol didn't bring the fever down. You tell me why I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was the most like life-changing, because you completely have to, you go from like having so much free time that you don't know what to do with yourself. And I have no idea what I did before
children. Oh my gosh, Tyler and I talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, what on earth did we do with that
time? I wasted so much time.
I watched a lot of reality TV is what I did. I worked, I watched a lot of reality TV. I traveled more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just watched a lot of reality TV.
Yeah, I wasted a lot of time before children. Like, all this time you don't know that you're missing. It's totally. Just gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah, yeah, you, I mean, think you have no time when you don't have children.
Yeah.
Have a child. Have a child for a day.
Yeah.
And try and get something. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a dog and we don't have a fenced yard, so we have to give him a walk every day.
Okay.
The poor dog used to get 3 walks a day. Now he gets 1. Poor dog.
Yeah, but he probably is very, like, gets a lot of energy out with the kids, I'd imagine.
He just watches them. Like, this poor dog. he's the best boy.
He's like, I used to be number one.
Yeah.
Just slowly getting knocked down. The
He's so patient. He's so good with them all. Yeah.
That's good.
One day that'll be their job, is to take him for 3 walks a day.
One day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now it's just their job to feed him, and they don't do a very good job at that. I have to do that.
It's hard though. Like, even trying to find like age appropriate things that Gray can do, and it, like, letting her do it just irks something in my brain sometimes. Like, she'll go to feed the dog and she'll sit there for 4 hours, it seems like, just holding the cup. Like, just pour it in the dish, and she's like, oh, this, and takes one out and puts it in the bowl, and then I'm like, I can't do it.
I think about that. We're not at this stage yet, but when Brooklyn starts baking with me,
yeah,
I'm like, oh my gosh, my brain is just gonna like short circuit, like watching her. Like, I'm like, no, like, I just want to like do it for her, but I'll have to let her, you know, put all the eggshells in and the whatever that she needs to do,
yeah,
just to like learn and stuff. But yeah, I thought about that a lot. I'm like, okay, you just have to like remove
let
yourself,
it go. Let it go.
Like, it's not professional.
It'll be so fun though.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to that. She already does like cook. Kind of Tyler will lift her up while he's making dinner, and she helps like season the steak and stuff like that. It's like, she likes it. It's really cute.
I make like fried eggs on toast for the big kids on the weekend for lunch, and they always want to crack their egg into the pan. So it takes time, but you know, you'll get there.
Yeah, it's important for them to do stuff like that. For sure.
Yeah, I'm not raising any lazy children.
Good for you.
Oh, hopefully, for you. Like I'm sure if my mom was listening, she would laugh at me, but. Because I do everything for them. They're so spoiled, but...
Yeah, but they're also
young. They're so small.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's...
The mother's love. Mm.
Just teaching them now how to do chores to earn money for their piggy bank.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, even if they're not doing things, like, they're seeing you and your husband do things around the house. Like, it's not like you guys are, like, leading by example being lazy people. So...
Yeah. Yeah, I always I feel like I'm lazy sometimes because I'm just like, there's toys everywhere around this house.
And honestly, you're going to pick them up. We're going to be there 2 minutes later.
Yeah.
So like, what's the point? We usually wait till Brooklyn goes to bed and we just like toss everything like to where it should be. And then it's like, great, it's going to be back on the floor in the morning.
Totally.
Yeah.
But like, she'll come here and she just like goes straight to the toys and rips everything off the shelves.
Yeah, like, they're in that, like, the little ones at least, maybe your girls are too. They're in that stage where they just like to dump everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the time. Like, they find something, dump.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's developmentally normal. But so annoying.
Yeah. Oh, but they're all so cute.
They are.
So, do you feel now that you're done having kids, you're, like, 2 years basically past, like, you're giving birth and all that stuff. Do you feel now that you're kind of like feeling yourself again?
Oh, absolutely
like
not.
Back to
your, no. There's some.
You were hoping for a different answer. I can tell.
Like, how long does it take?
Like, so when
like,
I 15 expect it.
Like, okay,
maybe in 2 more years.
2 more years, yeah.
Maybe in 2 more years. No, the little ones are just so little still. They need me and so much still. You know, just like your life is not your own anymore.
Of course not.
Yeah.
It never will be again.
No. And you know, it's finding that balance that kind of works for you and your family. And it's very difficult. There are lots of times, like, especially this season where everyone's been so sick and it's been constant.
Yes.
Like one of my little ones has been to ER twice in the last 6 months for croup.
Mm.
And it's just like, when does this end? And, you know, so.
And how do you, like, prevent the other boys from, like, when one's really sick, not getting what they get? Like, it's, I imagine, impossible.
It's just hope and pray.
Yeah.
No, it's impossible because, like, the little ones, they still have soothers. So they share their soothers all the time. And, you know, they'll steal each other's cups. And it's impossible.
Gray. Yeah. Oh, every time.
They share everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just, when one gets sick, I'm just like, okay, in about 1 more week, they'll all have gone through it, and then it's my turn. Mm. So, and that's usually how it goes.
Oh.
Yeah, they bring something home from daycare, and about a week later, I'm the one that's got it.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, this season has been particularly bad.
Yeah
it has been.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, people in general, I think.
Yeah, like, not just us, I think everywhere. Yeah.
And now we're into allergy season, so
yeah. Allergy's better like than cold. It never ends, but, yeah, though, I feel like. But
yeah, there's always snot for something.
Yeah.
Well, and even, like, the girls don't go to daycare, but, like, the sicknesses they get just from, like, the grocery carts or, like, literally anything. Like, Gray will put anything in her mouth that she gets her little hounds on.
Yeah, like, why do they like the dangly, like, grocery connector thing so much?
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Like,
every time.
Why?
Well, like, we'll go to Walmart, which is not very often, but, like, I feel like it's, like, ground zero for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And just I'll look over it and she'll be sucking on that, like, key cart thing. And I'm like, can you not? Like, it's too late now. But, yeah, that's what you're choosing to put in your mouth?
I know. It's disgusting.
Out of everything?
Brooklyn will, like, put her whole mouth over the handle, like, like, sucking on it. I'm like, you were vile, child.
I used to have one of those, like, car seat covers, but, like, those, like, those covers you can put around your kid, like yes. covers up the whole handle and everything. Yeah. It works for a little while until they figure out it can be taken off.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
And it just becomes a projectile.
It works like when they're not even really at the stage of like putting all this stuff in their mouth, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then once they yeah. can like grab things and whatever,
totally. Yeah, like just when they're learning to sit.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, hey, that yeah. works for yeah. 5 days.
Until they have like full control of their hands.
Yeah.
No go with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you give us like your best piece of advice? Mostly Cass, going from 1 to 2. But
yeah. You know, going from 1 to, well, you know, I went from 2 to 4.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, take all the help you can get. If you've got family and friends who are here and, you know, willing to help you. Maybe plan it out ahead of time. Say, when this day comes, this is your job. And, like, I want you to bring me meals on this day. And yes, I need someone to clean my house on this day. Because, you know, when babies come, people are always wanting to help. And they don't know how.
Yeah.
And, you know, you feel a little bit awkward saying, oh, well, yeah, I'll let you know what I need. But you know you need everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you maybe don't feel like you want to ask them to put your laundry in for you.
Yeah.
Give them the task ahead of time. So they come over, they know what they're doing. Yeah, or, you know, get your husband to give him a list and say, make someone do this today.
Yeah.
It's almost like you need like a guide, like a printout or something. And be like, okay, this person, here's your task. Here is your task for this person.
Yeah,
like if you come over, pick something from this list that I've already, like it's on my fridge, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good idea. See you in an hour. I've already told my sister, because she lives in England, when I told her I was pregnant, I was like, I wanted to tell her as soon as possible because her best friend was planning to go visit her around the time that I'm due. And then so as soon as I was able to tell her, and I was like, oh, okay, my mom's birthday is around like my close-ish to my due date. So I was like, oh, are you gonna come for mom's birthday? And she's like, nah, I don't think so. Why? And I was like, well, I'm like, well, then are you gonna come for your niece's or nephew's birthday? I was like, because you have to. Like you don't just, I was like, I need help. So, and she's like, oh, well, of course she will. But, and because I was like, I just need like help with Brooklyn even just... You know, like, I mean, of course, Tyler's going to be there. My mom, like, we have, and his family's very supportive. We have good friends and all that stuff. But, you know, I want her to, like, always feel like there's people around for her and people she loves and spending time with and stuff. And that she's that not missing out and all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be, like, her main duty is, like, you know, being, like, the awesome, fun aunt for Brooklyn and just, like, entertaining her and keeping her happy. While we're busy with the recovery baby, that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
that's one thing I've delegated. That's it.
You've got time though.
I have time but I think it's a good idea to kind of write a list of like, these are the things that would be helpful. And then, kind of go from there.
I think once we had a meal train set up. So like for the first like month or something, it was like, these are the days that we need food, so we could go and look and be like, okay, so someone's bringing food this day, so we know that we need to plan for something on this day.
Yeah.
And so that was helpful for us, so we could kind of figure out our week. And all the people who did bring food or sent gift cards was just like, it was amazing. So
yeah.
And like, we're, I think I'm very fortunate to have the family support close by that we do, and everyone's always, of course, happy and willing to help. Like, my mother-in-law is over at my house right now with my husband, helping put everyone to bed so I can be here.
Thank you, mother-in-law.
Yes, love my mother-in-law.
We appreciate it for sure. No, that's really good advice. I don't have to do that for sure.
Yeah,
thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks.
I
for
feel like we could
me.
Talk forever, and I have like so I know. Many. I still have more questions, so maybe if you're open to it, we'll have you on again.
Sure.
That would be great.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you for being here. And
do you want to like plug yourself? Do you want people to find you? What?
Or she's like, no, how are you? Yeah. That's okay too.
I have enough going on. I don't need.
I was gonna say, you're also, you're a Little and Lively ambassador. Yes,
I am. So I have a discount code if you guys like that local brand, Little and Lively.
Yes, we do.
So cute.
Yeah. So we love their stuff. It's my boys' favorite things to wear. And you find me on Instagram. I have a discount code in my bio.
Awesome. What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is a nickname that I had in high school for one of my friends. So it's Kendrums. K-E-N-D-R-U-M-S.
Perfect.
And it's on Instagram.
Kendrums, you'll find her. And then we also follow her. So if you can't find her, just go to
who we follow. I'll link it in the description.
Yeah, go to who we follow.
Yeah. So you can follow me if you want to see my crazy life with twins all the time.
Yeah, I love seeing you post about all your... Because I had to say, the things you post are so real. Like, you're not one of those people who just does the highlight reels on Instagram. Yeah. You'll post, you know, when your kids are acting out or like upset about something, but also when they're like having the best time and being the cutest. So it's your real life, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
so.
And I do it in like, I hope I do it in like a respectful way for them. I don't
of course.
It when they're
no,
like screaming.
Not, like, no. Not they're just being kids.
Yeah.
They're just being kids. It's just like, yeah, of course. So yeah, it's definitely a pleasure to follow you. So yeah, everyone should check you out.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
More awesome. Good follows. Good mom follows, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Alrighty. Well, we will see you when we see you. Next week.
Next Wednesday. Next week is when we'll see you.
Yes. And while you're at it, while you're following Kendra, why don't you tell your friends to follow us too? Listen to our episodes.
Yep.
We love it.
We love you.
We do. That's all I have to say right now.
Bye.
That's it. Okay, bye.
Bye.